Well, good morning. Good to see you. We're here to worship God. We're here to just praise Him. And I have to say this, that whenever you see your pastor, and I'm encouraged by Joe and what he's saying about the Word, if you're depending on the pastor to come up and give you a message that's going to just change your life, I'm going to tell you right now, you're fully mistaken. Because it isn't what we say. We can give you little bits and pieces. A little touch. I'm going to be up here maybe 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes, maybe. But I can't, that's not what's going to make the difference in your life. It's like Joe said, it's what you do with those little bits and pieces. And for us as pastors, what we really desire to see is that you just get a desire in your own personal heart to know what this book says. Because there's power in the words of God. There's so much. We don't even, you know, as humans, we underestimate what God can do in our lives. I talked a little bit this morning to the Sunday school class. I taught Sunday school class about, I look at my life, I look at my family's life, and I mean my family, my brothers and my sisters and my parents and different people around my life. And my life's a lot different than theirs. My life is, and I only give that credit to God, because if it wasn't for Him, I would not be standing in this spot right now. If I was just depending on my own physical strength, my own mental aptitude to do what I'm doing this morning or any time, you know, maybe teaching men's Bible study or whatever, I'm not capable of that. It's only by the Holy Spirit's power in our whole lives that I'm standing here today. And what I mean that is, you know, we have to think about each and every one of us. What you are, you're sitting here right now and you think, well, I'm going to go to church. But what you are at this very second in your life is a total accumulation of everything that has taken place in you by God from the moment you were conceived. What you are at this very moment is a total accumulation. No matter, you know, I'll be 69 years old here in June. So over the last 69 years, I am a product of that environment. I'm a product of that time spent over that time to make me what I am right now. And we're each and every one of us is the same. But there was a point in my life that I had to make a decision. And you're going to either go one way or the other. There's only two ways you can go. You can live this life based on what you want it to be, what you want to do individually, or you can live this life based on what the God that created you wants you to be and what He created you to be. You know, as human beings, we're you know, we think about, and we don't even really think about this whole lot. We don't look deep enough into our own human lives and understand that God made us and created us. God has a specific order. In the book of Genesis, it talks about creation and day one, day two, day six. Immediately, he starts putting things in line, in a specific pattern, a specific way, for a specific purpose. But we as humans, sometimes we want to look at things completely from a narcissistic perspective of selfishness, that this is my life, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And we got something called free will. We can do that. That's just fine. But we have this tendency to complain about the results of the way we live and how we are, what happens in our lives, because it doesn't quite turn out like we want it to. We have all these plans, we have all these desires, but when we do things our way, it's absolutely contrary of God's way in our lives. God instills us that still little voice to speak to us and call us in a direction that is absolutely contrary to our own selfish desires. And He created us in a way in His image. And we go back to that image of God. And again, to understand the scripture, and Rob and Jonathan and Joe and I, we constantly explain to people, in order to understand scripture, We need to understand the fullness of that message of Scripture. We need to have a basic understanding of all Scripture in order to understand, you know, just like anything. When you read a book, what do? You don't pick it up and just open it up in the middle. You don't open up. You start at the beginning. And God created us in the beginning in Genesis. And he created us in his image. And one thing we know, and we fully know this and understand, he created us in his image in a triunal fashion, in a threefold fashion. And this is a deep subject. So this morning, I'll never get into it in a way that you can fully grasp it and just wrap your arms around it. That's going to be your responsibility, but I'm going to give you some basic context of who we are as we are created in God's image. And just like him, he is what? The Father, God the Father, the Creator. He is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And he is also the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And God has created each and every one of us in the same fashion. And just like he is triunal, but he is yet one, in the wholeness of those three things, as human beings, we are exactly created in the same way. And if you want to turn with me, we'll turn into Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23. I'm going to focus on specifically. And again, I'm just going to give you some things to think about. But if there's any spark that ignites a fire, I want you to look deeper into it. We as human beings think we own everything that we have, but we really, anything we have is just given to us for a temporary period of time, right? It doesn't matter what, if it's our house, it doesn't matter if it's our car, it doesn't matter if it's this physical body. God creates us and instills in us at the moment of creation in this physical body, this, you know, you think about the flesh is, even when we die, you look and you see somebody, you know, this may sound more, we go to the funeral service of viewing, we see a physical body there, it's still them. It looks like them, it's them, but yet there's something missing because they have no active force within them to make that body move and function. And that active force within them is the Spirit that God gives each and every one of us. He gives us, and we're created in the same triune fashion, he gives us a spirit and a soul, and then he gives us this flesh. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. None of us had anything to do with us. You don't have anything to do with you sitting here this morning, right? Think about it. You're here, and as human being, well, all of a sudden, one day, we just, poof, we appeared. Out of the creative power and spirit of God, every human being is created and created in this threefold function. And let's look at First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Give me one second. Well, there it is. May the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And then this is what I'm specifically talking about. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. And even, Lord, in this very small portion of Scripture, there is so much that you say to each and every one of us. We know that we are these created bodies, these physical people here on this earth. And we know full well, each and every one of us know, that this time that you have given to us is very temporal. You created us in a specific fashion, in a specific way, and most of all, for a specific purpose. And I pray, Father, this morning that you give us the guidance and direction we need. Again, Father, that you anoint my lips in a special way, that the words that I speak would not be heard as me, but be heard as you and the power of your Spirit working through me. And give us all, including myself, the guidance and direction we need, I need, to live this life in a manner that glorifies you. I thank you again for this opportunity. Again, I thank you, and I pray for Rob this morning. And I know he would much rather be here this morning than where he is right now. And I lift him up to you. May your Spirit be upon him. And Father, give each and every one of us the knowledge and wisdom that we need to, as we leave this place this morning, to know you in a closer and more intimate fashion, and have an understanding of this word, an understanding of who we are, and an understanding of our job that we must do here as we live out this life on earth. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You notice in that scripture there, verse 23, it tells us that we are created, and that second part of that says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. This morning, I just want to explain to you a little bit about each and every one of them, but mostly, I want you to understand that we are not our own. We do not belong to us. We belong to the Father. He created us wholly in the Spirit. The Spirit, and you think about it, we go back to Genesis chapters 1 and chapters 2 and in creation. It talks about that God breathed life into us. At the moment of conception, he breathes this life into us. It's the beginning of who we are and who we have become up to this single very moment. And that Spirit that he breathes in us is what drives us and the only thing that can connect us with a relationship with him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells us specifically that it is our Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, that works with our spirit and our bodies to make these bodies function and move and grow and do things here on this earth. And we think about that activity and that action. What is that do thing? What makes us? Our do should be the part of what? Our ultimate goal, if God created us and owns us wholly, is to glorify him. We always think that we need to satisfy some desires of the flesh, and that's that third part. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body, and the body is the flesh. But God created us, and he speaks to us, and he desires to have a relationship with us so that it is our spirit. And again, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says specifically that. It says it is our spirit, God, or should I say first, God's spirit working with our spirit that drives this process and that drives this physical body that we have. It is only our spirit that lives within us, our spirit that can speak to God. Our soul does not speak to God. In that wholeness, we have to again understand the compound factor of that, the fact that we are triunal. We are just like him, created in his image. And it is that power of our spirit working in us that motivates us to those proper things, that proper way to live out this life, to speak to our soul. And it is our soul that is spoken to by the relationship between him and us in our two spirits. But it is our soul where that conscious, we think about that. We all know that. You know, and I always get, I spend a lot of time with people who are with institutionalized and the criminal. And there is not a one of them guys that I don't work with in the institutions that they know right from wrong. And they'll tell you that. But yet there's some part of our life, of this body, that drives us to not do the right thing, but says, this is what I'm going to do. And that part is within that soul part that the scripture is talking about. God wants control of all three areas of our life. There are many people that they say they hear the Holy Spirit. They say they feel that sense of the Holy Spirit's leading in their life and are willing to be obedient to it. But when it comes to the actions that is produced through this physical body, the outward works of the physical body, that all of a sudden they do something wrong. And like I say, does anybody have to tell you that you did something wrong when you do something wrong? There isn't a person in this room that can say that they did that wrong. But I didn't know. Sounds like when you were a child, right? Your parents catch you in the act of doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, and they ask you, did you do that? And you go, no, I don't know. And in some way, we're all children. We're all children, right? But they know, we know. We know that from the very beginning. It's a proven thing. Scientists have studied tribes in foreign countries. They have this deep sense of knowing right and wrong. And the right side of that is driven by our human spirit, the spirit that has that relationship with the Father that Romans chapter 16 talks about. And we need to be sensitive to that spirit. You know, we can avoid and we can make ourselves numb to it. But if we're true believers in Christ, we're true believers in who this God is, this God of all creation that sacrificed his Son, it should be our deepest desires to have our human spirit in as tuned to God's spirit as we possibly can. And how do we do that? How do we get this human spirit in tune with God's spirit? And there's only one way. It's through the Word of God. And anybody who comes here on a regular basis can never deny this. And I thank Rob. Rob emphasizes the importance of knowing that Word. And if you want to please God, if you want to love God, and I don't say we don't, God doesn't need us to love him. He desires us to love him. And our love is shown through how we utilize this spirit, this soul, and this body that he has given us. We need to have that desire. And the only way we can perfect that desire is by perfecting our knowledge and understanding of the Word. Because the Word works directly with the Spirit of God. And if we desire to know the Word, God senses that and knows that. And his spirit will speak and work with our spirit and make us sensitive to the knowledge and understanding we have of this book. It's so important. So important. Let's go to the part of the soul. Again, triunual, or three things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body. The soul, again, within us is that part that can be influenced in two ways. That's where we get the whole free will. We've all heard that statement, free will. Do we understand it? Do we follow the free will? Our free will is to, and again, this goes back to that love. When we say we have that relationship with Christ, do we really get that we can only show our love? God knows and understands our love by our direct obedience to him. So direct disobedience to him is rooted in our will. It's what I want. It's what I desire. It's what I think's right. But we can't trust ourselves. We have to listen to that still small voice, that deep intuitive voice of God in order to do proper acts. Again, I say this in my own personal life. I would not be where I am. I would not have a beautiful wife that I've been married to and we've been together over 50 years. I would not have three wonderful children. I would not have all those things because I see the repercussions of not having that full experience with God in the world. I say this in my own personal life around my own family, my own immediate, my father, my mother, within my own family, there's been an accumulation of total like seven different divorces, and there's only five other people. Lori and I are the only ones that have been able to, and we fight, trust me, we fight the battle just like everybody else. You can get no different in a marriage. You can get no different than the difference between a man and a woman. There is nothing the same about a man and a woman. And see, and we giggle because we know that. We're told two different individuals. Yes, we have a body, but we're different. And there's conflict in that difference. But we learn to resolve those conflicts for one purpose and one purpose only, so that God can be glorified through our marriages as husbands and wife. We've become one, and our ultimate goal in marriage should be for the full glory of God, so that the world around us can see what true biblical relationship looks like. Marriage is that example. It's a direct example of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Very important. And that comes out of that soul, that middle section, that part of our human inner driving force that makes us decide. Every day we get up, we make decisions, right? And those decisions are based on one or two things. It's either what I want to do individually, or am I going to allow the Spirit of God to work with my spirit, that first part, to motivate me and drive me to do the things He wants me to do and not just what I want to do. And that third part, again, that we think about it, is this flesh. I often say this, it's a temporary vessel that God has given us so that we can function in this physical world around us. If we didn't have this physical world around us, would we need these bodies? This is how we work with this environment that He has given. And we just look outside and what a beautiful place. And think about what God's word says. This is the temple, you know, He compares us to the Holy Temple. The temple in Jerusalem. What was in the temple? What was in the Holy of Holies of the temple? The presence of God. And that's what He desires in this flesh. He desires His presence in this flesh to drive and motivate this flesh, again, ultimately for each and every one, individually, corporately, to glorify Him. And I said this morning in Sunday school that we're only as good as a body, as a church, as we are individually. We have to learn to realize and purify ourselves and utilize this body for His glory. The only thing this body can do is interact with the physical world. It can't interact with the spiritual world. But He has given us this body to give this physical world an example and to live a life and a standard with our actions and our activities of service. We think of the act of service and we think about the fact that, you know, who was the greatest servant that ever lived the earth? It was Jesus Christ. He used His physical body and put Himself up on the cross physically to show His love and His relationship and sacrifice to all of us. Do you think He would have really, you know, Dee was talking this morning about anxiety. It's a great problem, right? We know that anxiety, I think the statistic is within America today, over 50% of Americans are on some form of medication for anxiety. So it's a problem. But you think about when it talks about Christ, when He went to the cross and what He did to this physical body, not by His own choice, but He even says it, it's not thy will be done, but Your will be done to God the Father. Another example of how we should live this life with this triunal beast. God wants to own it all. He wants our spirit. He wants our soul. He wants this body for His service. And I said this a while back, you know, it's funny how when people become Christians, we want everything, you know, nobody wants to go to hell. Let's face it, nobody does. You'd be out of your mind. But everybody wants to go to heaven, so they say, I want to go to heaven. But are we willing to do what it takes to go to heaven? What did Christ do for us? He hung Himself on the cross with this physical body so we could go to heaven. But yet when we go to the base of the cross, we look up there and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you. But we have to turn and look at ourselves and say, are we willing to die to this flesh so that we can go to heaven? We can't expect Jesus to do all the dying. To live this life and to exemplify that life to the world around us, we got to die to this flesh and live a life in his example that Christ has set for us. None of us are probably going to have to, do what Christ physically did. But we're going to have to make sacrifices. We're going to have to get rid of those desires of the soul that we allow that free will to make decisions for us. But we're going to have to realize that it all begins when we go back to that spirit that communicates. It's only our spirit, again, that communicates with God's spirit. And we need to live the life in obedience to that spirit in order to tame that free will so we can use these bodies that he has given us to help glorify him and lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be there is nothing harder for a human being to do than submit to the Spirit of God. But again, I go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says, it's the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead that lives in us. And if God can resurrect Jesus from the dead, do you think he can mold us into the people that we need to be, to live to the standard, to live the example for other people on this earth? So that they know what Christianity is and what peace of mind really is. We need to fulfill and commit our full ownership of our spirit, of our soul, and our body, not part-time basis, but full-time basis to our Heavenly Father. And that's how we receive the power to live a life, to glorify him to the world around us. It should be our greatest desire. We all know family members that don't know Jesus. And like I said, there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ. And they're only here this morning because, again, this is not coincidence that we're here. This isn't a coincidence I'm here. I know that. Jonathan, we know that, don't we, Jonathan? We know. It's our job. It's a call. And it's all of our call. That when we go out here, what we do with these physical bodies is preaching the gospel message to the world around us everywhere we go. And if you're a Christian this morning, you're saying, are you doing that? I want you to do a self-evaluation. I want you to really think about it. I want you to realize who we are and what we are and the task and the role that we have been given through the blood of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. And we want as many people to go with us as we possibly can. And we have the power and ability to do that. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for the way you work in our lives, Lord. And as the praise team comes forward and prepares to sing this last song, Lord, I pray that your spirit is working in this room. And if there's anybody in this room that needs to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, there's anybody in this room that needs to make that big change, that knows that the lifestyle they are living, the way of life they are living is not a glorifying manner to you, the God that created us, the God that gave us these physical bodies, the God that gave us this soul that drives us physical, and the God that gave us the spirit as you breathed it into us, that ability, that gift to communicate with you, the creator of this whole wonderful world. I ask you that you convict us all, kind of speak to us all, teach us all in a way, in a manner that would be pleasing to you, in a way, in a manner that when we know and we live and we leave this place and we are around other people, that we are a shining light to a lost and dying world, and that we can be set free through the blood of Jesus. And again, Father, help us and strengthen us. And as we go from here and we prepare for our picnic, may we be a light to shine up there. And may we always be a thankful and giving heart and desire to live a life that honors you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.